B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Checkpoint XP Daily, bringing you the latest from E3 2019. My name is Nate Bender. So glad to have you along. Joe Sloan joins me here in Detroit while Robbie and Norris get to have a whole lot of fun out in California at E3.
Lucky jerks. Do you realize that they're going to the Blizzard Arena tonight?
No. Yeah. I didn't realize was tonight.
No, they're at Blizzard Arena tonight.
And they got to talk to Xavier Woods today.
Ugh.
I hate him. That was a weird noise.
Didn't come out right.
Yeah, that was a weird noise.
Yeah.
Anyway, welcome to Checkpoint XP Daily. So glad to have you guys along. Coming up today, we're going to talk to Anastasia Staunton from the ESA. She's the executive director of the ESA. Also, we'll sit down with three of the developers for We Met in May. Those discussions are ahead here today on Checkpoint XP Daily. But we start with our final interview from the LCS Arena. This is our conversation with Azale, caster for Riot.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. I am here with Azale. He is one of the top personalities casting League of Legends for the LCS. How you doing today?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me on.
Awesome. Now, one of the big things that we've reported on and we're always talking to folks about is North America's performance at the last few international, tournaments, being Cloud9 at Worlds and Team Liquid at MSI. What was that like seeing, North America perform well finally?
It's exciting, right? I feel like it's been so many years of disappointment. So it is really, really awesome to see, both Cloud9 at Worlds stepping up, Team Liquid here at MSI taking down IG. It feels, like kind of a redemption story almost for the region, right? Because I think a lot of North American fans have been feeling like, you're always getting on the receiving end. You're always losing, always disappointed. So it's really exciting to see these teams stepping up and performing internationally, like I think people have been expecting for many years.
Definitely. And now we got Rift Rivals, getting ready to come up, and G2, they're talking mess, okay? they won MSI, they did well, performed well against Team Liquid. What are you looking forward to at Rift Rivals?
At Rift Rivals, I'm just really excited to see how all our teams are going to perform, not just the G2 versus TL. Obviously, G2 is an incredible team. They did stomp Liquid in the finals. Hopefully we can do better than that against them at Rift Rivals, but I'm also really excited to see both Cloud9 and TSM performing, because those are two teams that were super competitive with Team Liquid throughout the playoffs. G2 absolutely dominated their region, so it's kind of, I think, more of a fair assumption to think that G2 is a significant tier above the rest of the teams there. TSM, Cloud9, and TL were all trading games with each other. Playoffs was five game series between all of these teams, multiple reverse sweeps. So I'm really excited to see if those teams can kind of step up and deliver the type of results that we got from Team Liquid at MSI.
And speaking of TSM, they've been a team that, at the end of the spring split, they really sort of caught fire and they really stepped up. Speak a little bit to TSM sort of regaining their prominence. And do you think they should be a favorite going into Rift Rivals?
Yeah, I definitely think so. I mean, I think TSM for them, it has been a bit of a rebuild, right? The Mythi and Sven kind of experiment, or whatever you want to call it, did not really work out. Now bringing in Smoothie, it feels like they did really find their groove towards spring. And this was, a couple new guys coming into their team, bringing in Broken Blade, bringing in Smoothie. So it does take some time for the team to gel it, for certain rosters. And they looked really, really strong, I think, towards the end of spring. They were extremely competitive. They had to get reverse swept by TL, to even not make MSI. So I think people should have high expectations for this team. And it would be exciting to see if TSM can kind of live up to that at Rift Rivals.
For sure. And so when we talk about Team Liquid, we talk about TSM, inevitably you must talk about Bjergsen and Double Lift. With Double Lift now getting sort of the win over the last split over Bjergsen, is he now the unequivocal sort of GOAT of NA, or, you know, is that something that remains to be seen?
I think it's still definitely up for debate. I mean, we were having a lot of these discussions, you know, during playoffs and everything, back and forth. I'm kind of maybe on more the side of Doublelift is the GOAT than the Bjergsen side. I think that there's an argument to be made for both, especially the fact that Bjergsen has so many MVPs. It's so incredible. But for me, the thing that really has kind of made me feel like Doublelift is the greatest player of all time in NA is the fact that he has basically been just the catalyst to all these teams winning for so long. And it feels like, okay, ever since he won his first title on CLG, he has basically won every single, like, you know, title or been in the finals like every single time while swapping between all these teams. And it's such an insane run. He took one split off, you know, and yeah, he filled in it for Team Liquid at the very end of that, you know, when they were avoiding relegation. So I'm kind of not really counting that one, but he won with CLG, went to TSM, won a couple of times with TSM, then went to Team Liquid and won three times in a row with Team Liquid. And it's like, he's basically just won
LeBron.
Six.
He's LeBron.
Yeah, I mean, he's won like six titles in a row, essentially, yeah. If you're not counting the one he took off. Like, that's absurd. And across three different teams. And this is not to discount the fantastic teammates he's had, because he has been surrounded by great players and even played with Bjergsen. But I just think that's insane, right? It's like, well, how do you win in NA? You put Doublelift on your team.
And there you go. You get a title. You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I am here with the Zayo personality for the LCS. That's League of Legends for all you neophytes out there. And now we want to talk a little bit more about the summer split that we're in now. We're in, what is it, week two of the summer split. And right now we see Golden Guardians performing very well. They were a team that kind of was in the doldrums last season, but they've made some key changes. Speak a little bit to Golden Guardians. What have they been able to do in order to improve this year in this split?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, especially coming into this year, they made a lot of roster changes, right? Bringing in Olay, bringing in Hanser, Froggen, like, you know, they had, you know, kind of really revamped a lot of their team, and had really, I think, made some big upgrades there. Throughout spring, they did have a pretty rough start, but they have improved as a team, and it feels like they have now kind of found their identity. You know, they're having a great start to summer. They had a 2-0 weekend last week, and I know Contracts had an interview where he talked about, you know, his feeling was that it was actually him that had been holding the team back. You know, in spring, they went to game 5 against FlyQuest in the quarterfinals, you know, so they're one game away from semis, and he had felt that, you know, looking back, a lot of the issues the team had were his, and that he has been kind of fixing those and kind of looking forward towards the season. So it'll be exciting to see if they can kind of keep that up.
Awesome, awesome. And unfortunately, on the other side of that coin, we have to talk about 100 Thieves, who they were not able to really keep the same momentum from last year. They were able to go to Worlds last year, and now they're not looking very great. You know, what is it that they need to fix in order to at least get back in contention for the split?
It's hard to say, because it feels like they have so many talented players. You know, when you're looking at guys like, you know, especially Someday, Afro, and Bang, it feels weird to say that's the worst team in the league, right? Like, it's definitely strange with some of the things that these guys have accomplished. It has felt to me kind of like a downward spiral for 100 Thieves ever since they got rid of Meteos, to be honest. And, you know, and that's a situation where, you know, maybe his contributions to the team were kind of underappreciated or not being fully recognized. Because when you're looking at Meteos being swapped out, and then it's, you know, Bang versus Cody Sun, you would think that the team should be, you know, better with this multiple world champion player, right? But they're not clicking, and it feels like, you know, at this point, when I was watching them, especially at the end of spring, it felt like they were just looking like kind of a defeated team, right? And that to me speaks to like the mental of the team, where they are you know, not really on the same page. They're kind of down in the dumps, and that I think ultimately does kind of end up falling on the coaching staff and the management of the organization to be able to try to turn things around and try to get them on the same page and try to get them, you know, competitive again, because I think they have the talent to be a playoff team, certainly, but they just don't seem to be working well together.
Yeah, and just one more question is, we've seen a lot of new faces, not just in the spring, but also in the summer split in the LCS this year. Who would you say has had the biggest impact on their team as a new player in the LCS?
New player, I would say Broken Blade, probably. That's who I'm thinking of for this year. He's been insane. You know, he's a player who came over for the TCL. You know, he did have success in Turkey, but to see how well he has been doing in NA right off the bat, I think it's really impressive. There's a lot of really, really really good, you know, successful top laners in NA, guys who have had incredible careers, and he immediately, you know, rose to the top in competition for one of, if not the best top laner in the league. So I think, you know, his contributions have been very exciting. And for TSM, you know, they, I think it's kind of reminiscent of when they brought Bjergsen over and found this young player who had a tremendous amount of promise. And I think that's what they're trying to replicate, you know, bring in someone young, train them up, and Broken Blade's got a promising career ahead of him.
All right, and the last thing is, at the end of the summer split, we're from Detroit, so we're looking very much so forward to the summer split finals. Who's your pick to be in the summer split finals?
Summer split finals is tough. I mean, you can't bet against Team Liquid. They're back-to-back-to-back champions. I think they're at least going to make the finals. And then to me, it is between, you know, TSM or C9. Those two teams have been looking so competitive. C9 had a better start to this split so far. But I think it's honestly, it's a coin flip between TSM and C9. Those three teams have just looked so good this year.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much for your time. We've been talking to Azale, a personality for the LCS for League of Legends. And thank you again.
Thank you very much.
Thanks again to Azale for his time. For full interviews, visit our website over at CheckpointXP.com. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP, we'll check out a conversation that the guys got to have with the developers of a little game called We Met in May. That conversation will wrap up today's Checkpoint XP Daily. But ahead next, Christine, our super producer, got to sit down with Anastasia Staten, the ESA Foundation Executive Director. Stick around, that conversation is ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Hey, welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone joining us live at our Twitch chat over at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. Join us Monday through Friday live at 5 p.m. Eastern for episodes of Checkpoint XP Daily. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll sit down with the developers from We Met in May. That conversation will wrap up today's Checkpoint XP Daily. Let's check out a conversation that our super producer, Christine, had with Anastasia Staten. She's the executive director of the ESA Foundation.
This is Christine Solis with Checkpoint XP, live here at E3 in beautiful Los Angeles Convention Center. I am here with Anastasia Staten of the ESA Foundation, executive director. How are you doing today?
I'm doing awesome. Thank you so much for having me today.
Well, thank you for taking the time out here. Now, tell us a little bit more about the We Are initiative. That's what's going on over here.
Well, We Are is actually an extension of the mission of our foundation, and really what we're seeking to do is to empower women in the video game industry, as well as shine a spotlight on those emerging talents that want to join the industry. And we sort of talk about We Are in three pillars. We're looking to connect people with diverse backgrounds to the industry. We want to educate the community about their impact, and we want to inspire more voices to contribute to video games passionately. And that's not just a development. This is a big tent. This is a big industry. This is a passionate industry. So we want to encourage folks everywhere from esports to development to simply those that are really enjoying it as entertainment to share their voice to this wonderful art form.
Awesome. And I noticed that you are here partnered with Red Bull Gaming. What made you go with Red Bull Gaming versus all the other partnerships out there?
Yeah. Well, Red Bull Esports team has been extremely supportive of this initiative. And in fact, they were actually the founding partner with us.
Oh, wow.
We just kind of you know, those things that happen in life, we got together and we started having a conversation about some of our shared goals. And we both wanted to create a positive game culture and lift up others in the industry. And so out of that, We Are was born, and they have been not only one of the primary supporters, but also our partner in developing those three pillars that we talked about: connect, educate, and inspire.
Awesome. I did notice you have an amazing panel lineup here with, like, how to get a professional sponsorship as an esports player and content creator. And what I've noticed with these panels, they're full with more women involved in this. How does that, you know, how did that came about? How did you connect with these people?
Well, I'm gonna say this is an initiative about highlighting and empowering women, but also empowering all. We do have some non-females on there, but what it really is really just identifying individuals with unique perspectives and to ask them to sort of share that with everyone, because we think that this isn't a lot of the panels are not about being a woman or about your gender or about your background. It's just about your experience and the unique voice that you can bring to that. You think about video games in general. A lot of what video games is, it's storytelling. And what makes compelling, informative experiences is your unique background and your unique perspective, and all of us contributing together. And when we approached these panels, that's exactly what we wanted. So we looked for people that had unique perspectives, invited them to share that with everybody.
Hey, I love it. I love it. Now, I know you are pushing into empowering everyone and all, women and minorities as well. Tell us more about the ESA Foundation scholarship that's coming up.
So when I think about this industry, it's just in the U.S. alone, it's almost a $43 billion industry. But regardless of a billion here and there, it's a huge industry. And for me, in the role of the foundation, what does that say to me? That says opportunity. It's opportunity for young creators, but it's also a really big opportunity for women and minorities to join a workforce. So when we think about our mission and we think about our scholarship program, what we're really trying to do is encourage and give those voices the opportunity to join this industry and take advantage of all of those opportunities. And one of the things we really do through We Are, but also through our grants program, over the last 17 years, we've supported 144 charities and nonprofits and schools, is what we really try to do is encourage them to have the opportunity to learn about those 21st century job skills, to take advantage of these growing, emerging industries like video games.
And is that all ages who can apply for this scholarship?
Yeah, so the scholarship is focused on incoming high school seniors, incoming freshmen, all the way through their undergraduate degree, through their senior year in high school.
And how many applicants do you usually get per year?
Yeah, we get a lot, but we call it down to about 35 individuals, and we actually have 9 of them here at E3 with us. And they're having some amazing experiences, not only going around to the booth, but a lot of the companies here, like Take-Two, Bethesda, Xbox, they're actually hosting them in their booths for mentorship sessions and an opportunity to actually interact with the creators so that they get further exposure to the exciting and diverse job opportunities that are out there for them.
Again, this is Christine Solis with Checkpoint XP interviewing Anastasia Satan, the ESA Foundation Executive Director here at E3. Now, you said you do a little bit of community events and you partner with like Twitch, Microsoft, fandoms, and they're kind of mixers. Do you see yourself, you said you do charities of some sort. Is there any future plans coming down the line? What's the next step?
We Are has been such an amazing experience of pulling together and people in the community and people that really amplify that connect part of our pillars. But one of the things, after almost 3 years of the initiative, we're really looking to evolve that. And that means stepping beyond just community events, not just hosting amazing booths like the one we have at E3 to educate people and connect them and inspire, but we want to actually create more programming. So one of the programs we actually have under development right now, again in partnership with Red Bull, is actually looking to launch an esports scholarship. We really want to encourage girls and women who want to play collegiately to have the opportunity to be lifted up and support them through their esports career. And also when we look at STEM, we would really love to encourage more women to get into STEM. And we know that girls that are playing video games are 3 times more likely to pursue a STEM career. So we think that that's a beautiful marriage of the scholarship fund we already have, focused on arts and sciences, bringing in the esports, and then crossing over with the STEM.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited for that. My co-host Sarah and I, and Not Your Player too, we do want to see more women evolved into or be more into esports and not be afraid. Now, there's been kind of a backlash lately about the term girl gamer, and there's a girl gamer festival. Do you see girl gamer still being a negative connotation, or you're still empowering? Like, take back that term and say, hey, we are girl gamers.
I think that we should all be empowered to identify the way that we want to identify. I just would like to encourage everyone to have a positive outlook about how they identify. So if you want to identify yourself as a girl gamer, you know, that's who you are. But at the end of the day, what are we all? We're all gamers. And that's one of the things that We Are is all about. It's about that community and that shared experience over something that we love so passionately, video games.
It's all about video games here at E3.
Just a little bit. Just a little bit.
I did notice you did have some indie games here. What indie games do you have here at your booth?
We have a couple of indie games, and we would love to take you over there to show them to you. But they're all from female creators, female teams, but also some non-females on those teams. And what I love about a couple of the games that we have featured, one of them is actually from a student team that is also part of our scholarship program. And we're really grateful to Indie Mega Booth and IndieCade for helping us curate that selection. And hopefully maybe you can post a link to the games underneath your podcast.
Of course, of course. Now, since we are all gamers here, do you have a favorite video game that you like to play?
Oh, that's so hard. And also, we've been running around putting all of this together, so I haven't had a chance to like really experience the show. But you can't help but get excited about all the stuff. And really, no matter what kind of gamer you are, there's a game here for you. So I know by the end of the show I'm going to have a favorite, but right now it's a little tough.
What about for now? Like, what do you casually play right now?
Casually play, I would probably say Mario Kart, just because it's one of those, like, it gets a little bit of your competitive spirit going, but also I can just really get lost and enjoy playing, and also I love driving. So it's kind of like, you know, it just gets all my little brain fired, so... yeah, that's kind of a good game to just kind of tune out to. But I still whip out my Atari every once in a while, and I'm a big fan of Keystone Keeper, which is like and I think I found it at a garage sale when I was a kid. So those are probably two of my go-tos.
Okay, awesome. And then where can we find more information about We Are Initiative and the ESA Foundation Scholarship online?
Yeah, please visit at wearevideogames.org and at esafoundationscholars.org to learn a little bit more and reach out to us. We'd love to chat with you.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Anastasia.
Thank you. Have a great day and have a wonderful E3.
Thank you.
Thanks again to Anastasia for her time. For more info as well as full interviews, visit our website over at checkpointxp.com. Coming up next on Checkpoint XP, we also got to sit down with the developers for a little game called We Met in May. Stick around, that conversation is ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Yeah!
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. It's our E3 2019 special. Continuing on, checking out conversations that Robbie and Norris got to go out to E3 2019 and collect those lucky sons of guns. Anyway,
they got to talk to Xavier Woods.
I know, right? Like, I'm so jealous.
We've talked to him a few times.
Yeah, we have.
Like, that doesn't mean I don't want to talk to him again.
I know, right?
I'd talk to him every day if I could.
Well, while they were out at E3 2019, they got to check out a little game called We Met in May. Let's check out Norris's conversation with the developers of We Met in May.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. And right now, you're with me, Norris Howard. We're at The Mix, which is an indie game showcase here at E3. And I had to interview this crew, a three-person crew of one of the most really kind of unique games that I have seen. Literally, I was smiling and charmed throughout the entire thing. It's called We Met in May, and I'm going to introduce you guys now to the dev team, if you guys can share your names.
I'm Nina Freeman.
I'm Jake Jeffries.
I'm Ryan Yoshikami.
And so We Met in May is sort of this irreverent, you know, sort of romantic comedy of a game, if you will. Sort of explain what the game is and how it came about.
So the game, yeah, as you said, it's sort of this romantic comedy game. So it started, Jake and I were a couple, and we went on this date at the beach last summer, and we were having a ton of fun, like, throwing sand at each other and stuff, and we were like, oh, we should make a game about this. That would be funny. Yeah. And so we made it, like, super quickly at a game jam, which is, like, when you make a game in a weekend. And people were really into it, so we were like, oh, maybe we should just make more games about dates we go on. And that's kind of where it came from.
Yeah.
I do the game design, Jake.
I do the art.
And
I do the music, yeah.
Yeah. So we all sort of came together to make the whole collection.
Yeah.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. And so I want to especially talk about the writing. Who's in charge of the writing? Yeah. And the writing and the art style specifically, unfortunately, Ryan, it's loud in here, so I want to get more of the music.
That's totally okay.
But talk to me about the writing process and how you came up with it, because, like I said, it is very, very irreverent.
Thank you. My background is in, like, making a lot of personal game stuff, drawing on my own life, and I'm also really into, like, romantic comedy, anime, and shows, and movies and stuff, so that's just, like, a genre I enjoy. And, yeah, it was just fun to be able to write for a game where I didn't have to, like, do this whole big plot with any, like, big point. It's just to be funny and, like, to write in my own voice and say the silly things that I would actually say and that Jake would say.
Yeah.
So the writing process was pretty, like, organic. It was just, like, actually based on these dates we went on, and I would be like, what would we say in this situation?
Yeah. There's, like, I don't know, irreverent is a great word for it, because it is, like, it has a rawness to it, and that's, like, also what I'm trying to keep in the art style. Like, we made a lot of it during game jams, which is, like, really tight turnarounds, right? But I like the weird quality that happens with all that. You know, you get, like, you get funny stuff that happens from that. You know, in the beach game, Nina's arm is, like, going into her body, and then their heads are colliding, and sand's flying everywhere, and it's, like, it's hilarious.
Yeah.
And there's, like, an element of that silliness that I feel like can sometimes be lost when things are too polished, and so I want the, like, roughness, but I'm also trying to refine it. It's like it's a tight balance, you know, but I don't know, that's how I feel about the art side.
Yeah, and that's sort of, you know, the energy that I get from it as we're sort of watching a demo of it being played right now, where, you know, you guys didn't, you know, go too deep into, like, let's refine it and let's make sure that this is the tip-top graphical powerhouse. It was like, you know, it was a passion project that just actually turned into something very funny. So, speaking about the game jams, talk a little bit more about those types of things. Are there things that you frequent often, or was this kind of one-off?
We made these, we started all of them at game jams and then polished them more after and worked more on them.
You've done a lot of game jams.
I've done a ton of game jams. But we, like, basically had this Discord community because I stream a lot, and there's, like, a bunch of game developers, and Actually, I'll let Ryan talk about it because we met through these, and that's why he's working with us. We like started doing these game jams because Jake and I wanted to make these games. It was like an excuse,
and we wanted to like include everyone, you know, like have a big fun thing about it, where we like do a stream at the end of the week where we play all the games and show everything off. And it was a blast.
Yeah, it was more fun than doing it by ourselves.
Yeah,
basically.
Totally. It was like motivating and just a lot of fun. So we made this one, the beach day one, and the jam was a sunset jam.
Yeah, so and Ryan worked on a bunch of other games at those jams, which is how we met him.
Yeah, I mean, like, so it through a mutual friend who is a game director himself, Toby, he basically asked me if I could do a couple, you know, some soundtrack stuff for those games, and they seemed to like the work that I did, so I'm very grateful. But, yeah, I mean, like, they're... The soundtrack, I know it's super loud, you can't hear it right now, but it's, you know, very, you know, easygoing and lighthearted. Later, in the other games, there's going to be other crazy genres, like there's going to be one that's similar to like a JRPG battle theme.
Yeah, that's the one that we don't have here yet, we're still working on it.
But yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's like a JRPG... shopping outfit picking game where Nina like picks different crazy outfits that have like different skills and they like does damage to me when she comes out of the dressing room, and my character's gonna be like, you know, whatever, like this.
So is it that each sort of, because each game, you know, or episode, if you will, is very short, you know, I think I spent tops like 5 minutes on one. But was that something very deliberate going in that you guys said, you know, we want each one to be very quick and easily digestible?
I as a designer, I really like enjoy the vignette format, and it's something I've been experimenting with for a long time, and I think there's a lot of value to games about ordinary life that actually like show something that's small like that, like, because things that you're doing in your everyday life, like you have dinner or something, it's like not a long like 30-hour experience.
Yeah, you don't want to draw that one.
And like, so we wanted to show like these short, intimate things that we experience together as they are, and not like overdo it, because it's just life, it's just ordinary things that you experience in the moment, and we wanted to capture that like in the moment feeling.
And I think there's a power to having them be small, especially as a developer, you know, you're working on them for fun, you don't want it to be like overwhelming. It's just like I'm just gonna make this little thing that's fun, and then you can make another one and another one and another one, and then those add up, you know, and then you have this like cool experience where you can see, I don't know, change in emotion, you can see the ups and downs in normal life, and
we can explore different mechanics and have fun with it.
Yeah.
Also, even games this small take a long time to make.
That's true. That's totally true.
And we're all doing this like in our free time for fun, because like we all have other jobs, so there's also that.
And so, you know, I want to ask, what is it like, you know, doing the whole relationship thing and then also making games together? Because that seems like those are two things that should just consistently clash with one another. So what is that development process like?
It's pretty good, actually.
Yeah.
Like, maybe we're both weird, though. That's my answer.
We've mentioned, we started these all at game jams, so a lot of the like core concepts we developed in the course of like 3 days. So that's like 3 days of like us just like working together all day, and it's fun. And then we'll like let it go for a couple weeks and come back to it. And I think like our ability to have a flexible schedule like that has been good. But also, we both make games for a living and just enjoy it. So it's like a fun way to bond also, you know?
Yeah.
And so, Ryan, I have a question for you. What is it like making music for a game that is so personal that you probably, you know, you're not... I don't know. You could be in this relationship, but, you know.
We just met at this event.
This is our first time meeting in person, actually.
Yeah.
We're
crazy.
Internet friends.
Awesome. What is it like developing, you know, composing music for such a project that's so personal?
Well, I think, like, I think for a project so intimate, I think just music that kind of has the simplicity to it, I think, is probably the best way to go at it, you know? And it's really great, too, because they're both really great, easy to work with. And so, you know, another thing we were actually talking about earlier was that it's nice that we get to focus early on having me in because I get to see the development throughout the entire process, and it's very invaluable to have that kind of insight, especially with such a personal game, being able to compose some stuff.
Awesome, awesome. Usually, musicians are brought in like at the last minute. They're just like, all right, here, we got this game.
Yeah.
Make a music for it.
Yep.
All the sound effects, too, thanks. Please, bye.
Yeah.
So, lastly, where can people find it?
So actually, just today, We Met in May is on Steam coming soon, so people can wishlist it. So if you just search We Met in May on the Steam store, you'll find it. It's up there. It's going to come out in September. Look out for it then. Hopefully we'll head out to PAX and like share it with people there. My Twitter handle is HentaiPhD, so that's where you can find me.
I am Man of Dingus.
I'm Quirkymo.
All right, guys, thank you so much for sharing your game with us and sharing your time with us. We Met in May. It is so unique and so awesome, and I was smiling the entire time playing it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We're happy about it.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming, coming to you from The Mix in Los Angeles.
Thanks to the developers of We Met in May for their time. For full interviews, make sure you visit our website over at checkpointxp.com. All right, that's it. That's all we got time for today's Checkpoint XP Daily. But I want to invite you to come back tomorrow.
Got more exciting interviews.
Oh man!
Listen,
there's going to be some real exciting interviews for you guys tomorrow. So make sure you don't miss it. I mean, Xavier Woods. We're going to be talking
to Xavier Woods
tomorrow.
But not just Xavier Woods.
No,
there
but...
there will be some other ones.
Robbie and Norris are actually out at the Blizzard Arena tonight. Those lucky sons of guns.
So you know they'll be bringing back some good audio, or they better.
Yeah, that's their job. So in theory, they should.
Yeah.
But that's where we're going to have to leave the discussion right there. But listen, thanks for joining us for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show on esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website, checkpointxp.com, for insight on esports and gaming, as well as a wide collection of podcasts and interviews. Join us Monday through Friday live at 5 p.m. Eastern at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. Lead segment producing by Joe Sloan. Producing and booking help from Christine Solis. And of course, my co-hosts who pull double duty as producers for Checkpoint XP Daily. With me here in Detroit, Joe Sloan. And from LA, Robbie Landis and Norris Howard. My name's Nate Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.